here at Bethel, partly due to Sophie and Bill Iwabuchi's input and others too who are helping us with the work over there and partnering with us. We do appreciate your continued prayers for the work there in Japan. This time I'm here with my wife Sue. She's from the USA, I'm from the UK. We were both raised there as missionary children in Japan and actually studied in the USA in Bible school and various schools, and then went to Japan as missionaries in 1987 to join the work of the Japan mission. My father, Neil, I think some of you know, he went to Japan in 1951. He was from South Africa. My mother, in 1952, she went to Japan, and there they studied language in a language school. They met, they were married, and in around 1957, they started the work of the Japan mission because they were very burdened because of the many people in the tuberculosis hospitals who were dying and no one was ministering to them. And that's really how the work of the Japan mission for hospital evangelism got started. And then the work evolved, and we'll explain a little more about the work, but we do appreciate your prayers. I know my mother passed away in 2008, and I know some of you are praying for us. Thank you for praying for us during that difficult time. My father is now 83, doing well, involved with a prison ministry, preaching quite regularly, writing books and emails. If you'd like to hear from him, please sign up on the email list, and I'm sure he would love to send you short emails from Japan. But we just want to take this opportunity to thank you for your prayers. My wife and I, we have three sons, Jesse, Alex, and Chris. Chris is 23. He's in Seattle studying. Alex is 25. He's in Los Angeles finishing up a degree. And Jesse is in the U.S. military. He's 27 years old. I do thank you for your prayers for us as a family and also us at Japan Mission in Japan. There are many times when we face hardships and difficulties, and we know the Lord does miracles for us because many people in Canada are praying for us. So thank you very much for your prayers. I just want to draw your attention to the literature at the back there. It describes the work of the Japan mission. Many of the leaflets are free. Please take them. The books are sold quite cheaply. We'd love to visit with you there at the book table. You can help yourself too by just placing the money in the book box. If you're interested in receiving the bulletin or the emails, please write your name and or address down, and we'll make sure to stay in touch with you and send you short messages from Japan. The work of the Japan mission is not to work and plant churches. We work actually interdenominationally, we work in various churches helping them. We use various methods to spread the gospel. Our motto is called to serve. We want to serve the Japanese by every means possible, or whatever means possible, to reach them for the Lord. We serve the Japanese in hospitals, retirement homes, prisons. We're involved somewhat in radio and TV ministry. We also have quite a literature printing and distribution system that not only services Japan, but also other parts of the East. We work in cooperation also with the local churches there in Japan to evangelize their surrounding areas. We live in a metropolis, the Kansai area, where there's about 23 million people. And in that area, 20 locations we go out to, and our staff people minister. They teach English there, they teach the Bible, and help evangelize the neighborhoods for the Lord. We also have evangelists working in the Philippines and in Korea. The population in Japan is about 126 million, and less than 1% are Christians. Many cities have no church. There's approximately between 300 to 500,000 Christians in all of Japan. Many think Japan is full of very zealous Buddhist and Shinto people, but on the contrary, we find that Japan is full of atheistic and relatively materialistic people. Many people are indifferent to the gospel, and that's why we find it quite difficult to reach them. But you know, I prayed earnestly about this matter, and I told the Lord, Lord, how do we reach these people? I just do not know. And this was about 20 years ago, 18 years ago or so. And I prayed and I asked the Lord to truly answer my prayer because I was quite frustrated with this circumstance. And you know what the Lord's answer to me was after praying quite a while? He answered me through a verse in Luke 10:2. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. I was amazed to see this answer because I thought, well, people are so indifferent. How can this be? But the Lord showed me afterward that the harvest is truly great and the laborers few. And you may ask, how can this be since so many people are indifferent? Well, the Lord showed me that the mission field in Japan cannot be characterized like a big grain field where a big combine harvester can go in and reap a great harvest. In other words, thousands do not come to know the Lord through large evangelistic crusades. We find that the mission field in Japan is probably more like a fruit orchard where the ripe fruit has to be picked, hand-picked just at the right time when it is ripe. And for that, we need many workers. And you know, we find it most effective to make friends with people, and that's why we emphasize personal work and friendship evangelism. And in relation to this, I just want to share one testimony. You know, the Japanese love to learn something from foreigners, whatever it may be. We've often taught music or cultural exchange or cooking classes or language, English, all kinds of things to Japanese people. And they love to come make friends with foreigners and learn things from foreigners. So, you know, we recently came across a church that found that a recent fad in Japan was that of singing gospel music. And that's the kind of music that's, you know, been made popular by the black people in the southern part of the USA. And, you know, there are secular companies where you can go downtown and sign up to be part of a gospel choir. And they actually take money, and that's it's one of the fads in Japan. So one of the churches there thought, well, let's capitalize on this. This is something we can offer a church. So they advertised this in their neighborhood. They asked Japan Mission to provide them with a gospel music teacher. One of our teachers was very gifted with music, could sing all kinds of styles of music. And so, you know, 30 non-Christians from the neighborhood signed up to come and learn gospel music. First, these people were asked to attend the worship service. We had lunch together. After lunch, they participated in this gospel choir. It was wonderful to see. And later, you know, they started asking what the meaning of the words were. And we found the Lord was starting to speak to their hearts. And they would come every Sunday. And their aim was not necessarily to listen to the message or praise the Lord, but later to be part of this gospel choir. But later, the Lord drew them in through the evangelistic messages. It was wonderful to see. One of the emails that came into this teacher while she was there at that church came in a broken English. It said, I heard gospel songs. I was very impressed with yours. Now I'm very fun to sing gospel songs in church. My teacher is so nice, and her smile give me a power. Very thanks you. So in the broken English of this email, you can see that the Lord really started working in this person's life. This person later was saved. We praise the Lord for this person's dedication to teach the gospel music and the people that were saved through that program. So, you know, I ask you to pray for us as we teach various things to these people. But we've had some wonderful opportunities to sow the seed and reach out. But you know, this kind of work to make friends with people can be a very labor-intensive work, so we really need more well-qualified workers. Please pray that the Lord would send us good, well-qualified, dedicated workers, perhaps teachers of language, teachers of music, all kinds of well-qualified people. We can surely use them. And you might ask, what can we do for the work of the Japan Mission? I would ask you that you pray that the Lord leads us to the seeking ones among the masses. Pray that our workers and I would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit there in Japan. It is so wonderful to come into contact with someone whose heart the Holy Spirit has prepared. I would now just like to share with you a short message and then perhaps show you a short DVD. It's just 3 or 4 minutes long about what's been recently happening in Japan. But maybe we can first have a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to tell people in Canada about your work in Japan. I pray that you would bless this meeting as we fellowship together and examine your word. Please give me the words to be an encouragement and a blessing. Please teach each of us how to reach people for you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking through the audience to see if there are any children here. I don't see too many young children, but anyway, I will speak to the adults. Much of what I have to say is also for children, but applies wonderfully to adults also. In John 4:35, Jesus said, "Behold, I say, lift up your eyes, look to the fields. They are already white with harvest." John 4:35. The Lord tells us here that the fields are ripe with harvest. I believe their circumstance was not very different from ours here in Edmonton or there in Japan. I believe that the Holy Spirit is continually at work in the hearts of us here within this church and also within the hearts of those outside these walls in Edmonton and there in Japan. The Holy Spirit continues to work in people's hearts. And you know, I believe our attitude should be that of Jesus. In John 4:34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." He wants to use us as his instruments. Many times, though, we don't know how he's going to use us in a given day as his instrument. In the morning, I believe we should pray when we come to the Lord and we read his word and ask him to make us a blessing to the people we come in contact with on any given day. We must be on the lookout for what he wants to accomplish through our lives. And you know, sometimes we come into a circumstance, whether it be a flat tire, whether it be a person we meet on the street, or maybe someone who doesn't seem like they've had any food on the side of the road. And you know, we need to be willing to be flexible and change direction and have the Holy Spirit speak to our heart and do something that he instructs us to do. It might just be a matter of getting a sandwich from a store and giving it to somebody on the road there. But you know, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 37:23, it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord. He will guide your steps." The first point I'd like to make is that we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we would be surprised how he would use his word amongst us. My mother actually passed away in 2008, but a couple years before that, my wife bought my mother a beautiful potted plant with beautiful red berries on it. She enjoyed it very much. After Christmas, we planted it out in the garden after she enjoyed it for a while. And you know, many people used to walk by that garden there admiring those plants. And they especially pointed to this red berry bush. And it was just outside my office window there at the headquarters, so I could see the people walking by, and I'd be quite interested in how they would be so taken by this red plant. And some of the elderly ladies and the men and all kinds of children would walk by, and they would point to the garden. And it was interesting how much attention this red berry bush was getting. You know, one morning I came to work. Often I would come there and I would pray there and I would start my work. And I looked and I saw that this red berry bush was gone. And I could not understand. There was only a hole in the ground where this red berry bush used to be. And we were all surprised. You know, there are no animals in the area that would do this. And the Japanese are relatively honest people. There, if you forget your umbrella in the telephone booth, you're most likely to be able to find it. You can even forget your purse or your wallet on the train and probably go to Lost and Found and claim it, and all the money would probably be in it. The Japanese are relatively honest people. And we could not understand what happened to this red berry bush. But I came the next morning, and you know, I prayed a little bit, and the Lord gave me an idea. And I had a little wooden plaque made, and with magic marker, I had Romans 6, 23 written in Japanese characters in on the plaque. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I had that put in the hole where the plant used to sit. A few days later, I came to work, and I noticed the plant was returned. And it was in a plastic bag. It was as if someone came in the middle of the night and they just returned the plant there in the hole. We transplanted it again. We were surprised. It was kind of the talk of the day. We could not believe that that had actually happened. You know, we were probably people of little faith, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but the Word of God is a double-edged sword, two-edged sword, and it does accomplish its purpose, and we praise the Lord for that. And you know, we transplanted it again. Many people started pointing to the plant a day after or so. I came to work again, and the Lord gave me another idea. And I took that plaque out, and about a day later, I had another one made, and it was 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I had that placed next to the plant there, and we placed that one there for about 10 days. Later, we had John 3:16 in the garden there. And I believe the Lord used those plaques and those scriptures to speak to that person's heart, first about the wages of sin, and then about God's forgiveness. And you know, from that time on, people who walked by there, they were blessed not only by the plants and the surroundings, but also the Bible verses that we periodically changed and placed in that garden. So as I say, I believe we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we would be surprised how He would use His Word amongst us. You know, in Japan, tolls can be quite expensive. There was one man, I was giving these tracts out at these toll gates, because when we go to the airport, we can pay about 45 Canadian dollars just in tolls to get to the airport, which is maybe about an hour and a half away. It's a necessity to get on the expressway because the roads are so hectic there. But you know, I would always give a tract out because the Japan Mission makes a new tract every month. And so I give this tract out as I pay the toll, because I think that's just such a waste to just give them the toll. I might as well give them a tract too. You know, one man lay, I was wondering how useful this was, and if this was really speaking to the people's hearts, or maybe they were throwing it away. You know, I was encouraged one time, one man sent us a postcard, and he said, you know, I was encouraged by the testimony and the word in that tract that you gave me and regularly give me at the toll booth. And so we immediately put him on a list of people who regularly get this tract in the mail, because he's not always working there and sometimes he gets transferred. But you know, I believe we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we would be surprised how He would use His Word amongst us. And tracts can be a powerful tool to really communicate God's Word to people. My wife's mother, Erlene, she actually passed away around 2009, a while ago. But you know, about a year before she passed away, she had a very encouraging visit from a friend. And her friend came on that day. It was so remarkable to me and my wife, as it was inspiring to us, because we remember her words. She said, you know, I came today to thank you for faithfully sharing the gospel with me for the past 25 years. And you know, this friend, she lived quite far away. She could only visit Erlene about one time a year. And over the past 25 years or so, Erlene, every time she would come and visit, they would have a cup of tea. It was just after the new year. And she would come and chat with Erlene, and she would practice her English. And then Erlene would get her Bible out and share a few words of scripture and maybe a word of testimony. And at first, this lady, she wasn't necessarily that eager to hear the words that Erlene had to say. But you know, she says, thank you for now. Now I want to thank you for being faithful in sharing God's word to me. Now, I and my husband are both Christians. We go to church regularly. Thank you for sharing the gospel with me for over the past 25 years so faithfully. As mentioned, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we would be surprised how He will use His word amongst us and in people's hearts. We need to be faithful to follow the Lord's direction to share God's word with people. Sometimes the people we share with do do not necessarily appear to hear what we have to say and not so eager to hear what we have to say. However, please be assured that God can use the words that you speak to convict those people's hearts even days or weeks later. The second point I'd like to make is that we need to be willing and available to be a link in the chain. The smallest things can lead to someone's salvation. It was Billy Graham who said, "It takes many people to reach someone for the Lord. The first one thinks he did nothing, and the last one thinks he did everything, and they're both wrong." Often it's a process for someone to come to know the Lord. Someone might invite them to a meal. Another might offer them words of encouragement, maybe a tract, or invite them to church. It often takes the involvement of many people for someone to come to know him. In Japan, we also find it is a process for someone to come to know the Lord. I remember on one occasion, one of our missionaries, she was driving towards the Japan mission on her day off, and she was just going back after shopping, and she saw a lady kind of stumble and fall with her shopping as she was heading up the hill. And you know, she stopped, she helped this lady with her shopping, she gave her name card, it had a Bible verse on it and her address information, and she said, "Well, just come drink tea with us, we live just up the road here," and she was just trying to be friendly and didn't think much about it. And this lady went on her way. After she helped her with her shopping, she went on her way too. And you know, later this lady phoned and she said, you know, "Me and my neighbor, a friend, would like to come and study the Bible. We noticed you're Christians and we wondered if we could do some Bible study or learn a little more about Christianity." And this lady came with her neighbor friend. One of our office staff started doing regular Bible study with them. Later we introduced this lady to a church and she was saved. It was wonderful to see. But you know what was so remarkable for us about that circumstance was that our first contact with this person was simply through this act of kindness where we helped her with her shopping and gave her a little piece of literature or a little name card. So, you know, the Lord can use all kinds of things. We need to be willing and available to be that link in the chain. The Lord can use the smallest things to help someone come to know Him, even through the simple act of helping them as they stumble and fall with their shopping. A while ago, I remember my wife, she was driving down the road. It was quite a rural road. And then she saw a girl on the side of the road. She had a little scooter and she had pulled over and she wondered, "Well, is she okay?" And so she pulled over, she asked her, "How are you doing? Are you okay? Do you need any help?" And the girl said, "Well, I've run out of petrol," and she said, "or gasoline, and now I don't have any money with me either." And she said, "Oh, don't worry about that." You know, and about 15 minutes later, she returned with a canister of gasoline and helped her fill her tank. And the girl insisted on getting her address. She said, "Oh, I've got to send you the money." And so my wife agreed. She gave her address information. And this girl, of all things, she sent a nice thank you letter with about $10 enclosed, you know, thanking us for the gasoline, just in true, faithful Japanese fashion. People are so kind and faithful there. But, you know, we sent her some literature back. We said, "Come to this church that we have. We attend down the road here. They have English classes, and I'm sure you'd love to make friends, and that's where we go to." Later, about two weeks later, this girl came to the church, and we saw her there starting to make friends with people. It's wonderful. I think we need to be willing and available to be that link in the chain. The Lord can use the smallest thing to help someone come to know the Lord. It may just be that you help them with a canister of gasoline. In Japan Mission, we also use teachers, missionary teachers, to actually go to the various churches. We have about 20 different locations where we send our teachers out to actually teach English and help facilitate the teaching of Bible there in the classes. And we always hold these classes in a church. And you know, many who would never come to a church to necessarily participate in a church or hear a message come because they want to make friends with a foreigner and they want to learn English. And one of our workers was teaching in this faraway church, Yamato Yagi Church, and there was a Mr. Harada who came to that church, and you know, he wanted to go to the USA to study secular music, so he had to come and learn English, master English, in order to go study. And the Lord arranged circumstances in such a wonderful way that a music group from the USA visited Japan and toured a number of churches and also spoke at that church. And they shared their testimonies, challenged Mr. Harada, and you know, Mr. Harada became a Christian a few weeks later. It was wonderful to see. Later he was baptized. He really dedicated his life to the Lord. And later Mr. Harada, he went to the USA and he studied music, but there he studied Christian music. And when he came back to that church in Japan, he helped with a song leading in that church. And all of this came about because one of our teachers, all the way from South Africa, was willing to go to a faraway church in Nara to offer English to about 15 students who were in that church. And this man came to know the Lord and started to become a Christian worker in that church. We need to be willing and available to be a link in the chain. The Lord can use the smallest things to help someone come to know the Lord. Even the fact that you would go somewhere and offer to teach someone the English language can be instrumental in someone coming to know the Lord. But you know what was remarkable about this circumstance is that Mr. Harada, he came with totally different motives. He came to that church to learn English so he could go study secular music. But the Lord used these motives to totally change his heart. And these kind of things perhaps might happen in your own congregation. Some might visit your fellowship with totally different motives. Some might be lonely. Some might have some desperate needs. Perhaps they're struggling with a broken marriage. They need help with childcare. We need to be faithful to befriend these people and show them God's love. We need to be lovingly reach out to these people as the Lord met people's needs in his day. We need to meet people as Jesus met people's needs there back in the Bible days. We need to meet the needs of people in our community in this day, just as Jesus did. I remember a recent situation where, you know, I had actually no direct contact with somebody, and I was instrumental in someone coming to know the Lord. And I was so surprised by that. You know, much of our ministry is enhanced by email. We send thousands of email out every week. If you'd like to receive some such emails, we just write your email down and we'd love to send them short messages from Japan to you. But the problem is being consistent in answering emails and sorting through all the junk mail can be quite a challenge sometimes. You know, computers don't always do what you want them to do. They don't always cooperate either. But you know, the Lord has shown me that I need to be faithful, and we in the mission need to be faithful, even in the small things such as answering emails. One man from the USA sent me an email. He said he wanted to introduce a girl to a good church there in Japan. So I sent him an email back of a relatively good evangelistic church where I go to there in Japan. But I actually was visiting a different country, taking some meetings like this. So I couldn't attend that church for 3 or 4 months. About 4 months later, when I came back to that church, this girl introduced herself to me. And she said, you know, I wanted to find you and introduce myself to you and just say thank you to you for introducing me to this church. Because, you know, since I've been coming here to this church in Japan, I've become a Christian. I'm doing follow-up. I'm learning more about the Lord. I'm preparing for baptism. Thank you for introducing me to this church and being instrumental in that way. I was amazed. I didn't even need to meet this person or have direct contact with this person. This person in the USA had given this girl the address. The girl had found the church. We need to be willing and available to be that link in the chain. The Lord can use the smallest thing to affect salvation in somebody. The Lord showed me I needed to be faithful in the small things, even diligently answering email. My wife recently invited a lady. She wanted a befriend to a Christmas dinner. And we enjoyed ourselves. We talked with her, fellowshipped with her, but she was a non-Christian lady. Later, we invited her also to a kind of a Christmas worship service. And then, you know, it was in a hall similar to this, but we had some tables out. She looked around and she was quite perplexed. She says, "How do you worship here? I don't see any idols." And we said, but we don't worship a God of idols. We worship a risen Savior, a Savior who lives in our hearts. And it was wonderful. She actually confided in us. She said, you know, I've worshiped at many temples, and I've put my trust in many idols, but I've grown weary of these things. And later she came to church about a week, 10 days later, and it was wonderful to see how she started making friends there and fellowshipped with people, and how the Lord worked in her heart. So we need to be willing to be a link in the chain. The Lord can use the smallest things, even a Christmas dinner, a simple invitation to church in someone's life to help them come to know Him. I'll close with just a couple more illustrations, and then also show you the video about just a little bit about the earthquake ministry that's happening too, and what's going on there. But you know, my mother-in-law, Erlene, she passed away in January 2009. And at her funeral, we had a wonderful gathering of Christians and non-Christians. Some of her non-Christian friends came too, and they were blessed. But you know, one of her friends who became a Christian many, many years ago, she said, if it was not for Erlene, I would not be alive today. And she told the story. She said, you know, many, many years ago, I think this was about 40 years ago or more, maybe 50, Erlene was actually assigned to this rural church in Japan. And when she was assigned there, she was working with WEC, and her housing was quite meager, and there was not even any bathing, bath or shower facilities. You know, many people in that circumstance would be asked to go to a public bath, and often makes use of such facilities. Well, you know, Erlene was too embarrassed. She had just come from the USA as a new missionary. She was not acclimated to such circumstances, even though segregated. She just did not feel she could go into a situation where she shared a public bath with people. She made friends with a neighbor lady, and her name was Mrs. Imagawa, and she borrowed her bath. And for 2.5 years, Erlene borrowed this lady's bath. And she made friends with her. She told her about the Lord. And, you know, she was saved as a result. So, you know, we need to be willing and available to be that link in the chain. We would be amazed how the Lord can use the smallest things in people's lives to help them come to know Him. The Lord can even use the need of a bath to affect someone's salvation. Often when we're facing challenges and problems, that is when the Lord brings people across our path whose hearts He has prepared. At such a time, though, the challenge is not to grumble, and not to grumble, but actually be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and as we come into such contact with such people. A number of years ago, my father came into contact with a man as he was jogging by these temple grounds. As he was jogging, he would see the man worshiping in the oddest manner, and he would jog by there often. This man would first walk in the direction of the north, and he would clap his hands loudly to get the attention of the gods, and he would bow deeply. And then he would walk again in the direction of the south, and he would clap his hands and get the attention of the gods and bow and pray. And then my father thought maybe he was worshiping the sun and the moon. And later this man would worship in the direction of the east and then in the west. And then my father was confused. And one morning, my father asked this man, "What God is it that you worship?" And you know, this man answered him, and he said, "Long ago, I heard of the God of the cross. And now I worship Him in the form of the cross." And you know, as he talked a little with this man said, "Do you believe that if I worship Him in this manner, He would have mercy on my soul?" And my father had tears in his eyes, and he took him to the early morning prayer meeting, and there they took turns sharing with this man how the God of the cross had transformed their lives. And so it was wonderful. It's wonderful how the Lord can use us if we're willing and available to be that link in the chain, even when we're jogging, whether we ask questions of people or whatever the circumstance, we strike up a conversation, the Lord can use us in such circumstances even to reach people for the Lord. I want to close with this illustration. We'll show the video also. But you know, one of our workers we sponsor there, he went up to Ishinomaki near the earthquake that just happened recently. The whole towns, the coast of about 500 kilometers. The coastline was devastated by these large tidal waves that came in, or the large tsunami, as it were. And it's just a heartrending situation to see. Many of our workers and many of the people we've sponsored have gone up there and done much to help. But you know, in the first week after it happened, we were able to get a truckload of supplies up there. We had food, and it was just a very minor amount that we could contribute to the massive problem that was up there. But we also took like 115 liters of gasoline up there. Many of the pastors, after the first week, they had run out of gasoline. They couldn't get around anymore in their vehicles. So we then could top their vehicles up, and they could get around again and help with the relief work. But you know, this one man, Bill Cook, he went up there, and he came across a Christian lady who was very troubled there. And the problem was that her old bathhouse, it's kind of a wooden structure, had been leaning against the neighbor's building because it had kind of been shaken by the earthquake, and she needed to get it off of the neighbor's building somehow to stop it from causing damage. And so he took a kind of come along, or a winch, you know, and he pulled the building towards him, and he just kind of tore it down for her. They wanted to basically, it was a very old building, and so they wanted to destroy it, as it were. And he offered to haul this building off, and he was getting things ready in the truck. And then he noticed this lady, the Christian lady, had this Buddhist altar in her living area, and it was seemed to be well tended. And he said, you know, this Buddhist altar is really something that's used to venerate the ancestors. And I'm sure you're a Christian, and you're probably not much in need of it. I'd love to haul that off for you as well. And she said, well, you're welcome. Please come by. After you're done, please take it. And you know, he came a few hours later after he had finished loading the truck and made a number of trips. He came back and he said, now I'm ready to get the Buddhist altar out of your living room if you'd like. And you know, she started weeping and crying, and she just could not seem to part with it. Later, he said she ended up on the floor sobbing. And he said, well, you know, this is a matter of spiritual bondage. This thing has really got you bound up inside. And he could have probably somehow forcibly taken it, because she said he could. But he realized the problem was not the Buddhist altar, but in here, in her heart. And so he said, look, you need to pray about this, and you need to ask the Lord to release you from this bondage. And I will be back. When you phone me, call me when you're ready. I'd be glad to come get it anytime. You know, the next day she phoned him. She said, I'm ready. And you know, when he showed up there, he could see the change in her face. She had been released from spiritual bondage. She said, I'm so glad you're taking this out of here for me. And it was just one way in which the Lord used him to help this lady be released from spiritual bondage. He later took the Buddhist altar out, burned it there at the Bible school. But you know, as a few weeks later, he found himself back in Thailand doing some other kind of ministry. He wondered how effective he really was, you know. And my father shared this kind of a message with people there in a Japanese church. And a man after that message came up and said, you know, I heard this story about the Buddhist altar, and the Lord has been prompting me about this. And I believe after you spoke about it, this is the Lord confirming it in my heart that I need to also get rid of my Buddhist altar. So the Lord continues to use that story, not only Bill's, but you know, when we speak about it, the Lord seems to work in other people's hearts to get rid of these things. So, you know, it was wonderful to see. We need to be willing and available to be that link in the chain. And we would be amazed how God can use the smallest things to help someone become free of spiritual bondage. The Lord can use our smallest efforts to inspire others to take bold steps to glorify Him. In conclusion, again, I just want to remind you of Psalm 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. He could have used perfect beings, perhaps such as the angels, but he chose to use us who often fail him. We need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to use us as his instruments to reach out to those around us. And some of us might think, oh no, I'm but one person. What difference can I make? But it's the small effort that we make that the Lord can use, and he can multiply our efforts. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And so he can use some of us who think, well, what do I know compared to this learned person? He can use us in the lives of that person as an instrument to change that person. We should not rely on our own abilities. We need to rely on God to help us reach the lost. God can empower us to be a blessing to the people around us. Daily, we must be alert and on the lookout for what he wants to accomplish through our lives. And we would be amazed at what he will accomplish if we are simply willing and available. I'd like to have a word of prayer, if that's okay.